Coming up in this episode, we visit Islay Airport to run the runway.
And we hear about Scottish Water's plans to improve Bemore's water mains.
This is Islay Podcast.
Hello, and welcome to This is Islay. This is Jasmine Middleton.
And this is Julian Thurgood.
Welcome back, Joe. How have you been?
I've been well, thanks. We were finally able to do a bit of travelling on the mainland, but it's nice to be back on Islay, especially as Christmas and New Year's is coming up soon. But I think you've been really busy since the last episode came out. What's new at MyFus and the Cyber Building?
We launched the autumn and winter programme of activities which have kept us all very busy, here in Port Ellen as well as in Bemore and Port Charlotte.
That's great to hear. What's your favourite thing that you've been able to get involved with?
Well, I have been currently involved with a lot of the art workshops, and those have been pretty good working with other teenagers.
Well, good. That sounds like a lot of fun.
You mentioned Run the Runway. What's that about?
That's right. Run the Runway took place in October at Islay Airport. People were invited to join a 5K run, walk, or stroll along the runways, which were closed for the occasion, to raise funds for Scotland's Charity Air Ambulance, SCAA.
We'll speak to Lorna McInnes, the event organiser.
And some of the runners too.
And later on, we'll be speaking to Scottish Water.
Yes, if you didn't already read about it in the Eilleadh, they're planning a major works project in Bemore.
So stay tuned to find out more.
And also later, we'll bring you an update on Islay's newest cycle and pedestrian path.
So Joe, what do you have coming up?
Well, I really like this time of year. Lots of seasonal events coming up.
And this year in particular, some of the events are back live and in person again.
Last year, This is Islay spoke to Greg Shaw about the Fraser Shaw Trust and the Islay Sessions Music Festival.
But this year's Islay Sessions are taking place in person on November the 26th to 28th at the Port Charlotte Hotel and at Brookladdy Hall.
I know the Friday sessions already sold out, but you may still find a ticket for other sessions. And the events are being streamed online, so you do have the option to watch and listen online.
For more information, check out Islay Sessions on Facebook or go to the Fraser Shaw Trust at frasershawtrust.com.
Also coming up.
The Jura Christmas Fair is being held on Saturday 27th of November in the Village Hall in Craig House.
Yes, according to Gemma McLean, the fair is set to be the busiest ever, with lots of crafters and small businesses from across Islay and Jura.
These include the ladies of Lussa Gin, Woodwork Creations from Red and Row, Islay Cocoa, Deer Island Rum, and many more.
Including one of my personal favourites, Wonderful Bread and Other Baked Goodies from Kirsty's Island Bakehouse.
The Jura Christmas Fair will be held on November the 27th, 2 to 5 p.m.
So what's happening at the Cyber?
So on the 27th of November, we have the Christmas Market at the Cyber Building, and it's on for 11 till 4, and it also involves an exclusive pop-up shop by the She Can Project, which support young women and girls. It also features crafts for sale by our Monday Club.
That sounds like a lot of fun. You can find more information about all these events on Facebook at Islay Cyber Cafe. We'll have more Christmas events coming up in our next episode, including the Christmas Fair in Bemore Hall on December 11th and 12th.
But now, let's go back to Islay Airport.
On October the 2nd, our roving reporter Glenn Roberts was in Gleneagadale and spoke to Laura McInnes, the organiser of Run the Runway.
Good afternoon, it's Glenn. We're here at Islay Airport for a charitable event organised by Scotland's charity for air ambulance. It's called Run the Runway. Lorna, who in her inimitable way arranged Run the Runway, where did the idea from the event come from?
So a few of the airports in Highlands and Islands Airport, they do a Run the Runway event. And we thought it was time Islay had a shot at doing one as well.
So, and how did you get the job?
I'm a very keen runner myself, and I just thought it was a good idea to arrange something for everyone to enjoy, especially after COVID. And it's nice for everyone to come and see the airport as well, because it's not somewhere everyone gets to see all the time. So Yeah.
And it's nice to see the communities out and about after COVID-19.
Yeah, it's been so good. And yeah, so good for people from Jura and everything to make their way over. And yeah, everyone, I can't believe the turnout. It's been really good.
Do you know how much you've collected?
Not so far, but before we even started, we'd made about £1,000 in raffle tickets sales. So,
my heavens, that's very good.
Yeah,
isn't it?
So hopefully we'll let everyone know in due course what we've made, but hopefully it'll be good.
And what about next year?
Hopefully. I'd like to do it again, but maybe next time I'll run it myself. I'd much rather be running. No, it's been really good, and I couldn't do it without all my colleagues and Kyle and everyone, because I couldn't do it without them. So yeah, it was really, really good. I'm glad everyone came.
So it was a good team effort.
It was definitely a team effort, yeah, definitely.
Good. Lovely. Thanks very much for talking
so
to
much.
Us.
I hear over 250 people took part.
That's a great turnout for a great cause.
And we'll hear from some of them a little later.
But now we're going to jump back to Beaumont.
And the major water system improvement planned by Scottish Water.
Yes, it sounds as though pretty much all of the water mains in Beaumont are going to be updated and replaced over the next year or so.
Here is Glenn Roberts speaking with Scottish Water's regional manager.
Good afternoon. And it's very, very kind of Georgina, who is the Corporate Affairs Manager for Scottish Water. Is the weather, from what discussions you've had with your contractors and obviously at Scottish Water, is this in any way going to affect the progress?
Hi, Glenn. Thanks very much for having me on and to talk about this project. It's really, really important work that we are doing there. As with any works of this nature, there can be many unforeseen circumstances which can affect the work programme, and weather is one of them. So we're not able to say categorically that the weather won't affect the programme. It entirely depends on what Mother Nature throws at us, but we'll be trying our very best to ensure that the programme is delivered on time. And if we're delayed in some parts, it might be that we'll be able to make up the time at other times. But we do mitigate for risk. And, you know, wherever possible, we try to ensure that we can work and manage those risks.
But it's not you as Scottish Water doing the work. You have a contractor doing it for you.
We do, yes. We've got that our works have gone out to tender for this particular project, and the successful party was a kind of local firm that we use quite a lot on the West Coast, and that's McFadgens. And we did part of the reason why they were chosen is because they are local. Or they're as local as they can be to the area. So that's one of the reasons why that particular contractor's in place. And obviously, Scottish Water is always overseeing the work, and we work very, very closely with our contractors anyway. So I'm sure that they'll be doing their very best to ensure the project is delivered on time.
It's very good of you to put all this information in the ELUC to keep people up to date. But as you know, the ELA comes out once a fortnight, and then you've got everybody is IT inspired, but regretfully the older generation, which I would include myself in that, is computer illiterate. Are you going to have a representative, or are you going to have an office somewhere where there is somebody from Scottish Water? Do we as a community complain to the contractor, or do we as a community not complain, but if we have any questions while the contractor is working, do we go to the contractor, or do you have a representative on the island?
I'm not sure whether the project manager for Scottish Water will be on site for the duration of the project. But as with any works that we do, Glenn, we are happy to hear from customers who have issues. And we have a number of ways that they can contact us, and at 24/7. So we have information on our website, which is the www.scottishwater.co.uk islaairport.com/contact us. It's plain and clear on all of our information. We have a 24/7 helpline, which is 0800 0778 778. You can report it through a customer report a problem portal, and you can also post on Twitter or Facebook, our Twitter or Facebook channels, and 24/7 we have people who can answer your questions and your issues. So there's always a way to contact Scottish Water. So just to reassure you, Glenn, that we've written to all of our customers, you know, physically written to them with the old-fashioned letters through the post. And on those letters, all of that contact information is available. So every customer should have that information anyway. It will be on all our follow-up correspondence. You know, we are communicating in a number of ways. So we have spoken to all our local stakeholders, which includes your MSPs, your councillors, your community council. They are all kept informed and well aware of the information, which is the same information which goes to the Illaach and any other media that we've got. There are a number of ways that we are keeping people informed of the works. And on that correspondence, the contact numbers that I've just given you are all there. We do. The customer helpline is open 24/7. It's a free phone number, and they can contact us, whether it's regarding the project, this project in particular, or any water issue that they may have, water or wastewater issue that they may have.
When are you planning, or when are your contractors and your good sales planning to start the work?
So we are aiming to arrive on the 22nd of November, and the first day or so will be spent constructing the site compound. It will be setting up the signage, or ensuring that everything is in place. And my understanding is that the work will start on the High Street. Temporary traffic lights will be in operation, but there will always be access. It will be kind of a one lane restriction or a one way restriction, but at the same time, pedestrian access will always be maintained, and certainly emergency access for emergency vehicles will always be maintained.
By talking to your good self, it sounds as if it's a very complicated operation.
It's not so much complicated. It's, you know, we've done many, many projects like this before. I think the complication comes in that it's a small community and what we're doing will have a big impact. So it's ensuring that we work with the local community. We will work with the businesses. We will hopefully be giving advance notice when we move into another area so that our team on site will physically go and speak to businesses to let them know that we'll be moving site or as and when. It's a two-way dialogue. We're happy to ensure that we keep talking to people and try to minimise this disruption as much as possible. So, you know, in terms of a mains rehabilitation project, it's like hundreds of others that we've done. In this respect, it's because it will be affecting quite a lot of streets. So it's making sure that everything's coordinated, everyone is aware, and you know, it's really something that is business as usual for us.
When was the decision made that this work had to be done, or should it have been done sooner than it is now?
So one of the reasons why this project was triggered was due to the increasing or rising number of bursts on the network that had been experienced. We are obviously invest a lot of money on repair and maintenance. Scottish Water itself is currently undergoing a massive transformation where we know that we have to think differently and do things differently and we face challenges such as ageing infrastructure, and it requires a huge amount of investment to have these replaced. So this was mainly triggered by the, as I say, the rising number of bursts and water quality issues that had been reported and experienced on the network. And that then goes through the whole investment appraisal process, and a solution is found. And obviously it then gets the green light. And some of the pipework, my understanding, is well over 50 years old. And it will be placed with a new, a like for like, but using new modern materials. A significant number of roads that will be affected, and will pretty much, I think, replacing all of it. So I think that that's probably the thing that makes this project slightly unusual, in that we're effectively coming into a small community and replacing the whole of the network, as opposed to just a small part of it.
Are you working on either of the sides of the island, or is it just mainly Bamore itself?
No, we've had quite a lot of work on the island in recent months and years.
What reaction are you getting from the local community? Are you getting, as they say, are you getting good vibes?
Well, it's funny you should say that, because we did get feedback from quite a few stakeholders saying, you know, obviously, thank you very much for keeping them informed. One of the local councillors who's been particularly interested was Dougie Fyland. Mm-hmm. And he's been in touch with me quite a lot, asking for updates. So obviously we've been delighted that we were able to confirm earlier this year that the project was going ahead and that it would be later in the year. So we've had really good feedback from that. In terms of feedback from local people, one thing that I can say is that although it is, again, it's very much digital communication, it's something that we used during the pandemic, where we had to find another way to communicate information to our customers and communities. So we launched a virtual platform, which I think you'll probably be aware of. Now, normally that would involve us holding an information event in the local community, which would be us perhaps bringing six people couple of hundred miles over on round trips, along with all the mileage and the vehicles and other things, to hold what would be essentially be a short window of opportunity for locals to drop in and ask questions. Mm-hmm. But that situation, and we found it quite a lot, in that quite often we could do information events and over a 4-hour period nobody would turn up, and it very much requires people to be available at the time. You know, it's a small window of opportunity. So this virtual platform was born out of the need to provide information to people when at their convenience and when they wanted it. And we have been actually very surprised by the number of people who have logged on to that virtual platform. You know, I think in the first couple of weeks there was at least 70 or 80 people had logged in. You know, if we had 70 or 80 people attending a drop-in session, it would have been an absolutely amazing
miracle.
So it's, in that respect, it's actually worked very, very well. It helps us reduce our carbon footprint, and nothing replaces the face-to-face element. Nothing replaces that. But I think that it's an absolutely brilliant way to communicate to remote communities, and something that we'll be doing more of as we go forward. Mm-hmm. So we've been very excited by the success of that. We used this particular project and the Bowmore community as a pilot to see how well it would work, this virtual platform. So we've been really, really pleased with that, and that we're able to provide a lot of information to people and using different media as well, you know, including videos, allowing people to be able to put faces to the people who will be delivering the project. There is so much more that we can do that we will be developing, but it was a really good start for us.
Excellent. And the boys, the team, I suppose, as Matt said, and you have said, will be resident on the island.
That's what I understand, yes. Unfortunately, I think that it was down to the accommodation was unavailable, but that's all been resolved. And as I say, they're due to arrive on the island on the 22nd. So Pine Bow will make it very clear where the site office is, you know, and I am quite sure that they're going to be there for some time. My understanding is that the project's going to take about 15 or 16 months and is due to for completion around March 23. So I am quite sure the team will become familiar faces on the island anyway, and that they are usually very, very good at creating a relationship and a rapport with local people. So, I'm quite sure that they'll be happy to have dialogue with you when you see them in the street.
Right. I'm going to finish there because I've kept you long enough.
That's quite all right.
I am very grateful for you to spare the time and advising us what is happening with Bowmore Water Mains Improvement. Again, thank you very much.
If you live in Bowmore, you probably received a letter from Scottish Water about the project already.
And you can find all the information Georgina Reid was talking about on Scottish Water's website at scottishwater.co.uk.
So it looks as though we'll be seeing traffic lights in Bowmore for a while to come.
We'll also put a link to the virtual platform Georgina was talking about on our website on this episode's resource page.
That's right. All of this at thisisila.co.uk.
Way back in episode 3 and in episode 7, This Is Isla spoke to Pat McGran of ICAG about the new path from Buchladie to Port Charlotte.
We're happy to say that the path is now really complete. In October, the official opening ceremony took place on the path, close to the Port Ban Memorial.
Yes, Pat declared the path open and two children from Port Charlotte Primary School cut the ribbon to make it all official, and the whole school walked from Port Charlotte to Port Ban to christen the path too.
Followed by refreshments and home baking at Buchladie Hall.
So if you haven't already, please check out the new path. It's such a great addition to the island for walkers and cyclists.
And a great complement to the three distilleries path, soon to be four distilleries path, between Ardbeg and Port Ellen. Thanks to Mark Unsworth, we're placing the pictures from the opening event on our website. Please check them out.
Now, let's catch up with Glenn at the airport.
I have taken the opportunity of catching up with Jonathan, who was the first competitor at the 5K airport run. How did you find the run?
Hard, yes. I mean, when you're running along an airfield and the tarmac is stretching out in front of you, then the finishing line feels a long way away, but it's a great event, really, really well marshalled, lots of support on the route from all the people at the airfield. So, yeah, no, it's just good to have something organised and be running again. It's great that these sort of events are able to happen again, and people can raise money for, you know, all the causes that we have on Isla Endura.
Thank you very much for that. James, who came in second, how did you find the run?
Oh, I mean, it was good fun. It was definitely difficult with the tarmac, as Jonathan said, and the wind didn't help either. And so, to be fair, when it was behind you, it was a good help, but when it was in front of you, it was not enjoyable. A lot of people here, it was great, and hopefully raised a good amount for the charity, the Air Ambulance. This is first on Isla, and hopefully more to come.
Good. So, once again, we won't keep you. Thank you very much.
No, thank you.
Leah, who is the number one lady today, who is staying on the island and originally comes from Fife. Welcome to Isla.
Thank you.
And I see you brought the good weather with you.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't meant to be like this, but I'm glad it is.
And how did you enjoy the run?
It was good. It was very windy, I'm not going to lie. No, it was really nice though. I'm glad the weather stayed fine. Uh-huh. But definitely one of the windiest 5Ks I think I've ever done.
And yeah. is this your first visit to the island?
No, I was actually here about a month ago with Claire and Magnus as well. We just came for a wee holiday.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the second time on the island, but we do really like it.
Yeah,
so.
You're falling in love with it.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And you get on well with all the community locals as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, it seems to be a big like, community spirit type thing. Yeah, no, it's really nice.
Right, we will let you get on.
Okay.
Thank you very much
You're
for
very
joining
welcome.
Us.
Yes, thank
Enjoy.
You. Thank you.
Amy, who again comes from Jura. How did you enjoy the run?
It was fantastic.
Was it?
It was really great, yeah.
Yeah.
Lorna and I went to school together, because Lorna's from Jura. and we came over for Jenna's birthday to support Lorna as well, and it was a great day.
Was it cold down there on the run?
It was pretty breezy, yeah. At one point when we turned around, we were just headlong into a wind. But it was quite refreshing. I prefer running in that kind of weather.
So we'll end there.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. As we said earlier, we're down at the airport, and the charity they're running for is the Scottish charity Air Ambulance. And I just happened to bump into Catherine Urquhart, a representative of the charity. How did you get involved with the Scottish Air charity?
A few years ago, I was taken ill and I was flown off Isla, but it wasn't the government-funded aircraft. It was a private plane had come in for me. Then I started looking into, was it a charity helicopter or air ambulance that you could support? And I came across the Scottish charity Air Ambulance. So I've been supporting them for the past 4 years. Charity Air Ambulance is so well supported on the island. We have raised thousands. People don't think twice of donating to the air ambulance. It's amazing. A lot of families on the island have either been used by the charity, or people are just so kind-hearted on Isla and they'll donate to them.
Thank you.
As Catherine Urquhart mentioned, Scotland's charity Air Ambulance is a critical service for our community and a worthy cause to support.
Isla's Run the Runway event raised over £4,300.
Well done to Laura and her team and everyone who participated.
You can find out more about the charity Air Ambulance at scaa.org.uk.
For this episode, that's all we have time for.
Just before we go, a quick reminder that at This Is Isla, we are looking for your Isla and Jura stories to be featured in future podcasts. Contact us at thisisisla@gmail.com and visit our website at thisisisla.co.uk, where you will find all our podcasts and links to topics and groups we've mentioned.
You can also follow us on social media, on Facebook at This Is Isla, on Twitter at This Is Isla, and on Instagram at This Is Isla Podcast.
And find all our podcasts at www.thisisisla.co.uk.
You have been listening to This Is Isla, a volunteer-led podcast celebrating the people, places and events which shape the island communities of Isla and Jura.
Thank you very much for listening, and please join us again next time, and don't forget to subscribe. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of This Is Isla Podcast. Our theme song is 50 Pound Cashback by Fraser Paul.